Before we talk about politics, U.S.-China relations, or how it feels to be home, a lean and smiling Gary Logg talks about exercise. He tells me he worked out with a trainer 3 times a week in China. The Chinese edition of Men's Health magazine featured him on the cover of their February edition. Now that he's back, Locke says he doesn't have an exercise routine yet.
My son is really getting into exercising and everything, you know, with all the sports at school and everything else. So he's kind of pushing me.
That's good. Locke's wife, Mona, and their 3 children are the reason he left his post.
You know, our kids have really been moving around so much over the last 10, 12 years, so many different schools that they've been to. And as they're entering into the high school age, we really felt it was important that they come back and be here in one school for several years as they get ready for college. And, you know, we've been really away from Seattle, which is really home, for the last 4 or 5 years. And it was time to come home. It was time to come home.
The family's new home is on the east side, but it's the same old Gary Locke. He recently installed a hot water dispenser in his kitchen.
The plumbing underneath that particular sink was so convoluted and so crowded, it was quite a chore, but we got it done.
Whether at home or at work, Locke loves to fix things. I saw that firsthand when I worked for him in the governor's office. While in China, Locke fixed a problem that some say is his signature achievement as ambassador, vastly reducing the wait times for U.S. visas.
You know, it used to take anywhere from 7 to 10 weeks for a Chinese business or a tourist to get a visa to come to the United States. We were able to reduce that down to 3 to 5 days. And the demand for visas to come to the United States has grown by 70% during that period of time. So I'm really proud of what we've been able to accomplish.
Experts say it was one of the biggest issues Locke faced when he arrived in Beijing in August of 2011 as the first Chinese-American U.S. ambassador to China. Before he even got there, his reputation as a do-it-yourself guy has spread around the world from a photograph taken of Locke trying to use a coupon at a Starbucks counter at SeaTac Airport, wearing a backpack with no security around.
That seemed to go a long way, and it seemed to be played up really big in China. What was it like on your end having that kind of press behind you as you began your ambassadorship?
Well, it was really so funny because the Chinese, from that photograph, knew when I was arriving, and we had never told the press. I don't even know who took that photograph from behind. But from that, the Chinese press were able to figure when we were arriving, and they met us at the airport. They saw us carrying our own luggage, which was completely strange and new to the people of China because government officials travel with huge entourages and have everything taken care of for them. People were always taking pictures of us, coming up to us in restaurants, wanting pictures. The Chinese people were so great, so warm, so friendly, so welcoming, and our reception was just terrific. But it was also an opportunity for us to showcase, you know, just how friendly, casual, easygoing Americans are, regardless of your position.
Locke hasn't been easygoing about the issue of human rights in China. For a man known for quietly getting things done, he's been very vocal on this topic.
Well, that's one of the highlights of American foreign policy, and one of the key tenets of American foreign policy is encouraging and really pushing for a respect for universal human rights. And we really believe that it's in every country's political, economic, and social self-interest to adhere to the universal declarations of human rights.
Locke was thrust into the international spotlight on the issue when blind dissident Chen Guangcheng escaped from beatings suffered under house arrest and sought refuge in the U.S. Embassy. It happened less than a year after Locke arrived in Beijing.
Well, it was a very trying several weeks, first taking care of him, keeping it under wraps that he was even at the embassy, then meeting with the Chinese government. And we were able to reach an accommodation that protected his interests, that achieved all of his objectives and the objectives he had for his family.
Locke is proud of some other accomplishments, says Ambassador.
American exports to China while I was there was growing at almost twice the rate of U.S. exports to the rest of the world. Chinese investment in the United States during the 2 years that I was there was more than $21 billion, which is more than the previous 11 years combined.
Locke says he doesn't have any political aspirations. He's working in the private sector and has not left China behind.
Helping Chinese companies set up operations and factories here to helping American companies grow and expand and sell their products and services into China. Discussing now with several American and Chinese companies on serving as an advisor. But we really need to also focus on more people-to-people relations. And that's one of the things that Mona and I intend to stay involved in, not just trade issues, but really encouraging more understanding among our peoples. More Americans need to travel to China to study in China, learn the language and the culture. But we also want to encourage more cooperation between Chinese and American colleges, universities, nonprofit organizations, because so many of the problems facing the world today cannot be solved by the United States or by China alone. The world is really looking for leadership and partnership between both China and the United States to tackle these issues, whether it's climate change, preventing terrorism, or the proliferation of nuclear weapons, to curing some of the most dreaded diseases around the world. The world is looking for leadership from both China and the United States working together.